Hey, dude, this dog leg stinks, man.
Okay, groomer, do something about it, man.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Berg.
Hey, Susie. So happy to be here again today. And let's talk some shit.
Well, the truth is, today you're the star of the show because our two topics are definitely Barbara Berg topics. Welcome to 406 of the Groom Pod, recorded on March 24th, 2024 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Precision Sharp, Groom More, and Stazco. And you guys, if you want to help us along by tipping the podcasters or helping Barbara pay her bills, you can do so at our website, thegroompod.com, and click on the donation button for Barbara or join us on Patreon. All right, this week we're going to talk about hidden toxic chemicals in shampoo. And guess what? We're getting a bird's eye view of Plum Silky Shampoo after so many years. This is so awesome. And what's new this week is brought to you by Groomore Software. If you haven't found Groomore, you're missing out. Groomore is an all-in-one software solution for your grooming business. Whether you are a solo mobile groomer or manage several shops, Groomore has everything you need. 24-hour online booking and forms, routing, credit card processing, reminders, Google Calendar and QuickBooks integration, and so much more. And the best customer service anywhere. Shop mobile or house call, Groomore has you covered. And they're giving us a free month. Just enter GroomPod22 in the coupon code. Do I look tired?
No, you look good.
That's impressive because my schedule is a nightmare.
So you are tired. Well, you got those sunglasses on, so how am I supposed to tell? Oh, yeah, without them, you definitely look tired.
Bags under the eyes. Ugh.
Yeah, you got all that happening. Oh, you poor thing.
Well, I've had 3 weeks off, and you would think that that would have rejuvenated me, but now I'm 2 weeks back into working, and I've got extra dogs every single day, and I'm dealing with damage control. The damage this time is interesting because I'm really noticing the difference in individual dogs' coats. For instance, yesterday I did two Bichons. They are not from the same breeder, but they're in the same family and they're about the same age. And the boy dog, his name is Ozzy. He came from a really good breeder. They flew to Chicago to get the dog. He is gorgeous, probably one of the best Bichons I've ever had my hands on. Just fantastic hair. And then they bought a dog for the owner's mother. So the mom's dog has this horrible, horrible coat that I battle every 8 weeks by having to cut it down with the number 3 Romani rocker comb thing in my clipper back.
8 weeks is a long time for a Bichon.
I know. They've been clients before they ever had white fluffy dogs. They had Schnauzers, and the Schnauzers were never in a traditional cut. They've always been in unusual cuts. But I like these people. They're good, solid people. I watched him inherit a bunch of money. It's been kind of fun to see him go through his wives. Well, one wife, anyway. I was there for the first wife. He dumped the first wife. I was there for the second wife, and she's still around. So anyway, his mom is a piece of work, and she's never going to pick up a brush, even though she pretends she does. I love that. She tells me every time, well, I brushed her last night. I'm like, oh, great.
You don't have to lie. That's what I told her. You don't have to lie. You're attempting. They brush over.
So these guys were 3.5 months now. So we've got dreadlock heads. So I could kind of undo the ends, but damage done, right? And she had matting all down her legs. And so I thought, okay, this has got to be a 7-blade. And every few years I end up having to do a 7-blade on the dog. So I did cut her all off pretty naked. And then I looked at her tail and I wanted to save her tail. And I wasn't quite sure how to do it safely because I didn't have any gel. I had just Best Shot.
Gotta have that gel.
Yeah.
Equus Survivor is great.
Yep, and I have a huge one out there, so I'll be putting some of that in my trailer. Anyway, I couldn't figure out how to deglove the top of the tail, so what I did is I took my little scissors and I just sliced kind of underneath the tail to get just an opening so that I could get in there to start removing that undercoat. I was able to do it, and I took the end off, too. I just shortened the tail by taking the ends off so that I was able to release some of the dead stuff that was stuck in there. And then I picked away, you know, with my fingers and pulled apart and tapped and tugged and coated with a spray-on Best Shot, the Max, in a diluted spray bottle. And I was able to get through the tail. And then I did the ears. They weren't felted, which was amazing. They were just tangled on the top. So I was able to do kind of a cute little expressive pet style on her head where, because she's a nice looking dog, she just has really crappy hair. So I took it kind of short on the head by trimming it down and blowing it out and kind of trying to brush it out with my pin brush, and I was able to get a decent look on her. On him, I looked at his coat and I thought, I wonder if I just cut the outside edge off, if I can blow this whole mess out. And sure enough, I was able to, after 4 months, blow that coat open. And that's a good coat. That's what we strive for. That's what we want to be breeding for. Oh my goodness. It made the whole thing so much better. And I did coat it with silicone and use my coated pin brush in the tail and the ears because that was the only thing that I had issue. But it wasn't anything like the other dog. And he's not brushing either. He never brushes his dog any more than his mother brushes his dog.
And you know what? That's a good example of why we can't overgeneralize about coat types and breeds, because there's more individual difference than we're accounting for.
And it's interesting to have a dog with such good structure, because her bone structure is really good, and yet she just got the shit show for a coat. I mean, it's awful. They brought me a strawberry milkshake.
Oh, hey, that's a good thing.
I haven't had a milkshake in so long.
Now you're making me want a milkshake.
Yes, me too. It did make for a long day. They were the Sunday afternoon dog, which kept me there in the dark every time I tried to do them starting at 2:30. So I moved around some of my schedule and I gave them a first appointment on Saturday. And if they never changed their appointment time, I could give them that forever, but they change their appointment time because they travel. So at least for next time, I've got them on another Saturday, which is much better. In this case, I had a cancellation. Yes. Thank you. Right now, those last minute cancellations are going to save my sanity. All right. Well, anything interesting with you grooming wise? Probably not, huh?
Probably not. But I'll tell you, my two Maltese are looking terrible, and I'm thinking of taking them to the do-it-yourself place and pay $20 and use their equipment.
Not a bad idea.
And then I would get an experience at the do-it-yourself place that I could talk about. So that's my plan for the coming week. I'm planning on getting my butt over there. Most of my time this week was spent medical stuff. Lord, it is so hard to get old and just have, you know.
Hey, you've got a really good pair of topics for today. So I'm going to just forge ahead and play some ads, and then we're going to roll on to the first subject, which is all about the hidden toxins inside of our shampoo.
Thank you.
Let me tell you about Best Shot's newest addition to the Ultramax Pro line. Ultramax Hair Hold is a flexible hairspray that can be layered on for a stronger hold. Ultramax Hair Hold spray is great, but my favorite new product is called the Max, and I won't groom without it. It's a fragrance-free ultra-concentrate conditioner and detangler. It reduces drying time and handles undercoat and tangles like magic. Just a few drops in the final rinse or spray it on and dry it in. Contact your favorite Best Shot distributor or learn more online at bestshotpet.com. Grooming success begins with Best Shot in your tub. Made from the best stuff on earth. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. Remember, you only need a teeny tiny little bit of the Max to make your dreams come true in the bathtub and on the table.
Right. And I have an explanation for that, but we'll save it for another day.
Yes, that sounds good. All right, Barbara, I'm just going to hand you the microphone as I so often do and tell us about the secret stuff in our shampoo.
Okay, well, here's what's going on. If you read the rationales underlying the various lists of unwelcome or, quote, bad, unquote, ingredients in shampoos and conditioners, you might be tempted to conclude that there are several highly toxic chemicals that can be lurking in human and animal grooming products that are not listed as ingredients. And the reason is that they're not ingredients, because these hidden chemicals are byproducts of the manufacturing process. So there's two of them that are most often mentioned, and that's 1,4-dioxane and free ethylene oxide. So these byproducts are often related to the processes of ethoxylation and sulfation. Ethoxylation is when they force feed ethylene oxide into an ingredient and it makes it more water soluble, more friendly, makes the shampoo less irritating. It's what's the difference between sodium lauryl sulfate and sodium laureth sulfate.
Oh.
It's ethoxylation, the process. But unfortunately, they found these 1,4-dioxane and then free unused molecules of ethylene oxide in some shampoos. This was several years ago, a decade ago at least. So now, as the free from lists are growing and growing, the bad ingredient lists, if you notice, these ingredients that you're supposed to avoid started out with maybe 3 and then maybe 10. And now there's like 15. And they now mention the hidden toxic chemicals of 1,4-dioxane, not to be confused with dioxin, which is found in the environment, is really highly toxic. 1,4-dioxane is a toxic chemical. Ethylene oxide by itself is a toxic chemical, but are they present in our products? The answer is yes, but not to any significant amount. Here again, we go back to the important distinction between hazard and risk. So these hazards exist, but they are such a low dosage and they're in rinse-off products that there's really no chance of harm happening. They're not in toxic levels.
This is where the dose makes the poison really comes into play, because these are teeny tiny amounts that are present, right? They're molecular.
10, 15 years ago, they found enough of those substances to be of concern. But nowadays, I took a deep dive on this. It was so fascinating. I went into the Journal of Chemical Engineering to learn that there are basically two things that they do. The manufacturer minimizes things that would help to create these byproducts, and then they also remove the byproducts by vacuuming, which is not vacuum like your vacuum cleaner. I'm thinking, how in the hell do they vacuum a liquid?
And not suck the whole thing up.
Not back, just sucking up the stuff and spitting it out the other end. Do they do that? No. Vacuum cleaning the liquid ingredients is done with air pressure and like steam distillation, or they might use nitrogen to help remove the gas, because these are gases. And so they're removed by a process called vacuuming, which really means they create an air vacuum. They make more pressure. And so the free radical things pop off.
I get it.
They can remove them that way, or they create a steam distillation, which is the same process that they use to create essential oils.
And hash.
Okay, well, we must, in several other processes.
Just for discussion,
They prevent it from happening as much as possible, and then they remove as much as possible afterwards, leaving a very little amount, maybe one or two particles per million.
That's definitely a little amount.
It's just not enough to do any harm to our systems, especially we're rinsing it off. So Procter & Gamble makes available a PDF of what they do in their manufacturing of ingredients to deal with the byproducts of ethoxylation and sulfation, which is the mechanics of making sulfate. And it's like 9 pages.
Wow.
Small type of all the things that they do, including they screen their raw materials. They be careful who they buy raw materials from. They have standards that have to be met. They reduce the amount of humidity in the air in all of their processes, in their plants and everything, because air equals moisture, which makes for more byproducts formed during the manufacturing process. They have 16 measures before and after, not 16 before and 16 after, but before and after this manufacturing process, they have 16 safety measures that they utilize. And that's massive. If you would read the do not use list, you would think that chemical companies are just being careless and allowing these toxic chemicals to be in the finished product. But we've got to remember that science marches on, and engineering marches on, chemistry marches on, and they learn how to deal with this stuff. And they're no longer a significant risk in our shampoos. There's one other that I want to talk about. Go ahead. You have a question.
I have two questions. Number one, are these byproducts present in the ingredients that formulators use to make it, or does it happen when the formulator puts the stuff together?
It happens when they put the stuff together.
Okay.
But it does have to do with the quality of the raw materials.
And then my second question is, what is the exposure danger? Do you get cancer? Does it burn your skin? Does it create a rash? What happens if you're exposed to this stuff? And in these tiny, minuscule amounts, nothing, right?
Nothing. There's one for dioxane is in our environment. We get it here and there and everywhere. Our bodies deal with it. Free ethylene oxide. It's a gas. We don't get any gases when we shampoo a dog.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it anyway.
No. I mean, I don't care if it's an odorless, colorless gas. It's a gas. Shampoo does not release gas. It's so minuscule.
If someone were having a reaction, like a skin reaction, when they're shampooing a dog, the likely cause is not the tiny bit of gas that's in the shampoo. I mean, it's probably something else.
I'm going to tell you what it's likely to be. Right now, it's my next one.
Okay, perfect. Ooh, I did a segue and I didn't even know it.
We want to be sure that everybody knows that 1,4-dioxane and ethylene oxide are never ingredients. They're never added to, and they're not in the raw materials. They're a product of the chemical reaction. It's the chemophobes layering these concerns on us, right? Okay, so I want to talk about cocamidopropyl betaine.
Not that.
Yes, there are byproducts to cocamidopropyl betaine. And we might need to remember that in 2004, cocamidopropyl betaine was named Allergen of the Year by the American Contact Dermatitis Society.
Boy, there's an award you don't want to get.
Right. And by the way, in like, I don't have the note of what year, but some recent year, parabens were named the non-allergen of the year. And the American Contact Dermatitis Society acknowledged that parabens were the least allergic preservative that could be used in cosmetic and personal care products.
And yet.
And we've run out of dodge on fear-mongering and bullshit, and companies that use it are afraid to acknowledge that they use it. And here is one of them, least having complications, preservative that we could choose for cosmetics, and we treat it like an outlaw.
It's a shame.
So in order to be allergen of the year, you have to have a lot of suspicious events that are associated with cocamidopropyl betaine. Plus, you have to have actual skin tests of the ingredient itself on people's skin. And it was named a significant allergen. However, further science revealed that the substances causing the allergic reaction were manufacturing byproducts. My tongue is going to have a fit right now. Dimethylaminopropylamine.
That's a good
one. Dimethylaminopropylamine. See, my tongue loves this. Dimethaminopropylamine and amidoamine. Now, since this discovery of these byproducts, they determined that it was these byproducts that were causing the allergic reactions to cocamidopropyl betaine, and manufacturers have upped their efforts to minimize and remove these byproducts as well as these other things. Now, these byproducts are not lethal like 1,4-dioxane and free ethylene oxide, but they're a significant allergen. And isn't it interesting that we don't see cocamidopropyl betaine on hardly any free-from lists?
You're right.
The only pet shampoo that directly avoids it is Hyponic. And that's because they're reacting to that allergen of the year thing. Hyponic is like their whole marketing focus is hypoallergenic, right? No allergies. But the reason, Susie, that we don't see it cocaminopropyl betaine on these need to avoid lists is because it's one of the most important ingredients in a shampoo. Now, you can formulate shampoos without it. And I've always said that if you have a dog that seems to be allergic to every shampoo you've used, you need to mindfully search for a cocaminopropyl betaine free product and try that on that dog, because these byproducts are very significant, but you're not going to see it this named as it because formulators would have a fit. Cocaminopropyl betaine, it isn't a one effect or one benefit. I mean, it does so many things. It conditions, it helps to clean, it helps to thicken, it makes foam and holds the foam tightly together, stabilizes the foam. It works in combination with an amide to make a product more gentle on the skin. It minimizes the effects of a harsh detergent, which you need for great cleaning, without affecting the cleaning. It's really difficult to substitute cocaminopropyl betaine. It can be done, but it's unnecessary in most circumstances because most manufacturers are paying attention to the byproducts. So in the whole last 20 years, a lot of what's happened within the shampoo making department, the chemical engineering department, equipment and all of that department, is that they have reduced the amount of byproducts and they have improved the ability to remove byproducts from a finished product. So there you have it. And I apologize for running out of time at the show season. Tent show is having so much fun being me that I didn't get all of my material covered, and this was part of it.
And it was hard to hear, so the best thing we could possibly do is offer this up as a seminar here in the future. So I think that's on the books. Just don't know quite when. Barbara's got to finish that book and get moved and a handful of other things before we forge ahead.
Out my house.
Yeah, she's just done a huge sigh.
Her mother's name on it and not my name.
That's going to be fun. Anyway, let's take a break and then we're going to come back with the really exciting topic that's coming up next, which is what the heck's in Plum Silky? Sometimes my clients don't like a walking air freshener. When these crazy people request a scent-free option, I go right to Show Season.
Show Season True Tearless Shampoo and Hypo Conditioner fit the bill. They are totally fragrance-free and yet hold up on their own as good products. True Tearless has been expertly formulated to be gentle to the eyes, skin, and hair while maintaining good cleaning power. Hypo Conditioner is a great option as well, and it's one of our favorite conditioners with or without fragrance. So let's get fragrance-free. Use True Tearless and Hypo Conditioner from Show Season today.
Go to showseasongrooming.com. We want to welcome Randy and Cheryl Lowe from Precision Sharp and invite you to check out their website where you can see their newest precise cut shear called Lynx. It's a patented design featuring a thumb ring that slides the length of the handle for perfect ergonomic placement of your thumb. Slide it and lock it into position to get your best groom on. Check it out at precisionsharp.com. Groomers, take your seats. It's time for B-Bird's Classroom.
No, I was just going to add on to the Precision Sharp thing that one of the things that Randy is really good at is that he can customize a pair of shears for you. If you want a twisted thumb,
bent shank,
bent
reverse
shank,
curves,
all of those things, he can make you a pair of shears that meet your standards. He's making his own shears as well. He's not making every one of them, but he has that engineering ability to make customized shears for you. And I promised them that I would talk for a minute about that Precision Sharp and Randy offer a whole selection of bevel edge German style shears for groomers. And these are the type of scissors that I learned to groom on that have been replaced by the convex edge super sharp scissors. And then the convex edge super duper sharp pretty scissors are not always the best thing for beginners or people who are struggling with their scissoring skills or developing their scissoring skills. The bevel edge shears are a really good starting point, and they're more affordable.
I use them a lot.
Yeah, I use them a lot too, and I kind of treasure them because they're harder to find anymore. They used to be the only thing that we were offered, and then we could find them under barber scissors, and now they're just hard to find because they've been supplanted by these super sharp rock star scissors. Okay, all right, so let's get on to this plum silky stuff. I was very excited to learn that our friend Michelle Knowles had somehow persuaded the company to reveal the ingredients of this one product. And the reason that she emphasized trying to get, well, sometimes it's easier to pry ingredient lists for one product from a company than it is to get all of them. And Plum Silky has been a hugely popular product for many years from Nature Specialties. And some of us who have made a commitment to not using products that we don't have complete ingredient information for have had to stop using Plum Silky. And there's a couple of things that this product is really known for. One is the fragrance.
Yay!
But that's just the fragrance. It's just the fragrance chemical, and they're not telling us what that is. But it is what it is, right?
Right.
It's a fragrance oil, and they use some polysorbate 20, which is an emulsifier that mixes fragrance oils into a water-based product. Now, this ingredient list, it's huge. It's 30 ingredients, Susie.
That's big.
Did you count them?
I did.
It's more than iGroom used to be. iGroom has slimmed down their list because their complicated and fancy ingredients cost too much. But this one, there's a great deal of redundancy in this list that causes me some pause. And I'll give you an example. It's got sodium C14-16 olefin sulfonate, a very good primary cleanser that's often used as a sulfate replacement. And one of the reasons that it's used so much is that it's almost the same as sodium lauryl sulfate. It's a sulfonate. It's a little bit different, and it doesn't have the bad rap that the sodium lauryl sulfate and all the sulfates have.
It seems to clean pretty good.
It does clean very. It's an excellent, it's a harsh surfactant.
Okay.
It's a detergent. It's just about the same level of harshness as some of the sodium lauryl sulfates. And it can be dropped in a formula in place of, you know, like instead of having to reformulate with four other surfactants, you can just drop this olefin sulfonate in there instead of, so it's got that plus cocaminopropyl betaine, which is a foam builder and stabilizer, a mild cleanser, co-surfactant, has some conditioning and anti-static product properties, and also helps to thicken the product. And cocamide DIPA, DIPA, that's used as a replacement for cocamide DEA, which is another foam builder and stabilizer, and works together with cocaminopropyl betaine in thickening and making products less irritating. And here's another thing about it. You can find these three ingredients, the olefin sulfonate, the cocaminopropyl betaine, and cocamide DIPA, as a single mixture from the chemical company.
Like a base.
They're a base. They're an engine. And then, however, right after that, they have sodium laurosulfate, cocaminopropyl hydroxyltane, and cocamide MIPA.
Oh.
Another engine. Why do they have that? Or where do I find that?
Maybe it should say or.
Yeah, well, that's what I think it is. And I know that other companies have done this, especially when they're in the process of changing formula during COVID, when they would have to shop around and have to substitute ingredients. They started doing either or listings without necessarily saying either or, but they would have it so that it would be on their list. And this almost looks like that happened. It almost looks like they changed from sodium laurosulfate, cocaminopropyl hydroxyltane, which, by the way, has the same manufacturing byproduct thing going on as the cocaminopropyl betaine. It's in the cocaminopropyl part, and cocamide MIPA, MIPA, is a very good companion to those other two ingredients, another part of an engine, and it has greater conditioning benefits than cocamide MEA or cocamide DIPA, DIPA. But why would you have both cocamide MIPA and cocamide DIPA? They do the same thing. The only thing that's different is that the MIPA has more conditioning effect. There's a lot of conditioning ingredients here without being strictly conditioners.
Okay.
They have a lot of emollients. It has hydrolyzed silk protein. That could be the silk in Plum Silky.
Oh, yeah, duh.
It's what you recognize as the silk. But check me out. I learned that two other ingredients that are further down on the list and that I didn't recognize at all are triheptanoin and C1316 isoalkane. Those two ingredients are blended by one company, Inolex, into an ingredient that they call, their trade name is Lex Feel Wow. And Lex Feel Wow is naturally derived triglyceride from castor oil. It provides silky sensation with outstanding spreadability and excellent skin compatibility. Isn't that interesting? Provides silky sensation. Lex Feel Wow. You can look it up on Google. And the two of them together, they're used as a replacement for cyclomethicone. Cyclomethicone is a volatile silicone that's used as a conditioner, as a detangler, helping wet and dry combability. It's in the detangling gels. Because it's volatile, it does its job and then it evaporates. Oh. So it doesn't add weight to the hair strands or anything. So those two ingredients, they are what I would call the secret sauce of Plum Silky. They are what delivers the silkiness, the feel that you like.
Also, it's unusual, so it's not what we're finding in other shampoos, because there was something special about that shampoo.
Well, it's definitely novel. I've never seen those two ingredients in pet shampoos, or I would have looked them up before now. I just going to give myself 5 stars from going into the chemical companies and finding a company that blended those two. They have another couple of things that are blended. Here's another redundancy is they have methylchloroisothiazolone and methylisothiazolone known preservative blend, and they also have phenoxyn ethanol and ethyl hexylglycerin, which is another preservative system. Why do they have 2 preservative systems?
Yeah, it sounds like an either or again.
It sounds like it could be an evil either or. It could be an evil or. Freudian slip.
Yep.
It could be that the phenoxyethanol and ethylhexylglycerin are preserving some single ingredient.
Oh.
Or something that within the, it's just not normally disclosed. It could be that, but nonetheless, it's confusing and it's redundant. And what are we going to think?
It also has panthenol.
It has panthenol. It's got a lot of sorbitan oleate, decylglucoside, cross polymer. What is that? It's a oil and water emulsifier. It's non-ionic. It's PEG-free. It has natural origins, and it also serves cleansing and foaming properties. They've got so much foaming property stuff in here. It's totally redundant. There's a lot of redundancy. Here's another thing that's weird. It's got citric acid, which is an acidifier for adjusting pH. And then it's got triethanolamine, a strong alkaline used to adjust pH, and potassium hydroxide, another strong alkaline used to adjust pH. Why both of those? And why 2 alkalines and 1 acid adjusting pH? What the fuck? Do you know what I'm saying? Am I making sense? It's just like so much of this in here. Panthenol is good. Their marketing says they have vitamin A, vitamin D3, and vitamin E. Well, they do. I guess we should call it a blend.
Right, a blend. So I bet we have at least 2 ingredient lists here.
It almost seems like we do have a combination of stuff here. It's starting to look like shampoo hash, and not the good kind of hash.
Like the kind you would eat for breakfast.
Scrambled eggs, yeah.
Yep.
Well, either that or their eggs are really scrambled. I don't know. It just seems there's so much redundancy. They've got aloe in there right after fragrance. And anything that's after fragrance is likely to be less than 1%. Cocaminopropyl betaine is usually 3 to 5%. So there's a little bit of BS down here. Now, the colorants are red plus blue equals purple, and that's the plum and Plum Silky.
Okay, so I wonder, because Michelle was dealing with someone who had access to the ingredient list somehow. Perhaps this is an ingredient list that has come from someone who has not assembled a formula ingredient list before, and she just grabbed everything that she could find that went in there, or maybe combined the lists herself or something. I say her, I have no idea. The person from Nexus/Nature's Specialty who procured this list for Michelle maybe didn't know what was supposed to be in there and what wasn't, and combined bits and pieces of...
Well, it almost looks like everything they've used over the years.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. It's like whatever formula changes have gone through, these are all the ingredients that could potentially show up.
Except that, you know, it does not contain cocamide DEA or cocamide MEA. Both cocamide DIPA and MIPA, those are fairly contemporary ingredients that have been created to avoid... Cocamide DEA is listed as a carcinogen on the California Proposition 65 toxic chemical cause cancer list. And that's another story, and I've told it, but I need to polish it up so people can understand that that happened because of some mouse studies. Was toxic to some breed of rats and not to another, or something like that. Dealing with people that just want to dig out the hazards, all kinds of stuff happens. Anyway, go ahead. You have a question.
I have another question. I swear I'm not going to take us on a tangent. One of the things that I love about that shampoo is it seems to hold fragrance like no other. Is there a fragrance fixative in this list?
No, I would say that that's in the fragrance, which they don't have to give you any actual ingredients in their fragrance.
Okay.
And so we don't know if there's any allergens in that fragrance. We don't know what the fixative is. It's bound to be a fixative. It lasts for 2 weeks.
It does.
And I want to say something else. I'm looking around to see if I can find any other list of ingredients for this product. And I went to the Amazon site, and sometimes way down at the bottom, they'll have other information, ingredients. It said other information, ingredients, all natural. Susie. They're claiming it's all natural. And another thing they did is in their description of the product, they said contains essential oils. There's no essential oils in this.
Yeah.
There's not a single essential oil on this list. So where's that? And the other thing they do in their marketing, they claim it's a texturizer shampoo. Not. It's a super conditioning shampoo that softens the coat and makes it silky. It can't do both. It can't give structure and firmness to the coat and make it soft and silky at the same time. There's nothing in there for that. No, it just says a surfactant blend from coconut or something like that. Yeah, I know. No, it has a bullshit list.
It says it has acai berries, and it has no acai berry in there.
Oh, where do you find that?
On Amazon. So actually, it's down under important information. It says ingredients, but it really doesn't say the ingredients.
Oh, I don't know why I just found all natural.
Here, I'll read it to you. A proprietary blend of conditioners, essential nutrients, jojoba oil, keratin, panthenol, silk proteins.
No jojoba oil. There's no jojoba.
That's why this is a complete bullshit list. I don't know how Amazon is getting away with putting this up. Amino acids, acai berry.
They don't know.
I still say it means we can use it because there's nothing scary in there, right? Even with all the lists combined.
Yeah, I'm not afraid of it. I'm just doubtful of its accuracy, which is still ethical and moral. You know, come on.
Yeah.
In other words, I think they're still jerking us around.
Oh, Patty.
I think you're probably right.
I am very tempted to write this up as an article.
Yeah.
Because I know the interest in this product. But yeah, I think you can use it, Susie. It lacks integrity to me.
I agree. But remember, they're owned by Nexus now. So things are changing.
But they gave it out. They wouldn't give it out before.
Right. That's why I'm saying there's an evolution happening. Maybe we'll actually get a true ingredient list eventually.
I know. I think I need to confront them. I don't want to be the one. I hate being the bad cop.
Okay. Don't be the bad cop then. We'll just keep it here.
I don't have time.
They can listen to the show if they want to hear it.
Yeah, they can listen to the show and I may write it up and drop it somewhere. I can't. I have been cut out of my blog.
Oops. We have a blog spot on the website if you want to use it. Just let me know.
Oh, maybe that's where I should start putting some stuff.
If you write it, I can post it.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys, for being here. Barbara, that was enlightening.
All right.
You are definitely the curator of ingredients. I love that title for you, and it's worn proudly, I'm sure, by you. So thanks for being here, everybody. Thanks for supporting us on Patreon and through the donation button. And thanks for supporting our sponsors. Happy grooming, everyone. See you next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye.
See you next time, and take care of yourselves because you deserve it.